Let's continue in prayer, and then we have another treat. Father, we just thank you so very much that you are here with us. We're not worthy, Father. It's your grace. It's your goodness and your righteousness, and you're the good shepherd. You're the one who takes care of the sheep, and we're so thankful, God, that we can ask you anything, but we just need to seek your will because you're always looking for our character to be like you. And it's not about our comfort, it's about our character. And we need your character because we're just characters by ourselves. And so, God, we just thank you so much and ask you to continue to guide us and lead us and bless our understanding as we dive into your word and as we see illustrations of how you are such a good shepherd. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I was talking to somebody this past week, and I'd like to ask him to come up here and share with you how God is a good shepherd in his life. It's Jose Ramirez.
Thank you, and good morning. So there's been a lot of different verses, different ways of showing how God has been a good shepherd, right? For us to tending his sheep, myself as well, right? It's God can do the impossible, right? One of the main impossible things I can say is being here in front of you guys today, being transformed, being renewed, and being able to live this life for God this time around versus the first time. How many of us get to live twice? So it's amazing when God pulls us out of our old lifestyle from how we used to live and puts us in this new one when we submit ourselves to him, right? And one of the main verses that stood out to me was Psalms 84:12. It says, Lord Almighty blesses the one who trusts in you. When we surrender ourselves and give ourselves to God, we're putting our trust in him. I can say for myself, I didn't know who God really was when I had, before I got convicted, before I went to jail, before I got incarcerated. I knew of God, I heard of Jesus, but I didn't know it was a personal relationship that you can exactly have. Like, you can reach out and grab, you can hold, you can talk, you can hear, you can feel God's presence. I was like the lukewarm, come to God when you need something, and then when you don't need him no more, you kind of leave away. And that was how I was. Like, oh, I knew some of the scriptures, but I didn't know that the scriptures actually had life. That is the difference. And this is the part where it comes back to God can do the impossible. I was looking at a 25 to life situation. I come home in 5.5 years. So out of those 20 years that could have still been sitting down and possibly still not come home, because there's men inside there who go in front of a parole board and get denied several times, even if they have made changes. So this just shows the impossibilities that God can do when we fully trust and believe in his word, in his son. When I went to court, going through the whole court process, I went back on a first degree murder. That was the first main charge I was looking at. From a first degree to the perfect self-defense was the way we were fighting this case. We had a motion halfway through the trial, and we got the first degree to get dropped. That's unheard of. A first degree to get dropped. So you're giving instructions to a juror, to the jury, on a second degree murder, which is 15 to life. So you got the 25 dropped. Now you're looking at 15. But during this whole time, I just told God, hey, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. All I ask is, do not have me forget you because I get upset that I don't get what I want. And if I do get what I want, I do not want to forget you for knowing what you have done and thinking I did it myself. So it's like a double-edged sword in a sense, because when we pray and we ask God and he doesn't give it, a lot of times we turn our backs and we get mad. I just tell him I'm going to accept it. I've already been inside, sitting down, living in this world that I was in. Totally different from the world out here. So when you have your own lifestyle that you have already accustomed to, got familiar with, and are okay with, it's nothing worse can happen because the worst is already there. Only the best outcomes can come. But then when you get a chance to come home, you forget about everything that's inside there, everything you were just going through. Imagine trying to find a way how to put together so everybody could kind of relate. It's you get the lotto ticket. best way to say you hit the lotto, you got the lotto is at $1 billion. How many of us might forget God at that $1 billion ticket? That's what it's like coming home from jail. You won $1 billion, you're coming home, and you forget about God majority of the time. We get what we want, we forget. The amazing part is not forgetting and still having $1 billion. Because you know how much more you can use that and be effective for God. Not for ourselves, but for Him. We get to enjoy the prosperity, but we get to enjoy even more of the life that you're able to touch and see God work in. There's a lot of individuals that I've met where they've been answered prayers. An answered prayer by doing God's will is way more than getting a check from work, getting a lotto ticket, playing the lottery, doing the scratchers. It's instant gratification, but it doesn't last. God's lasts forever. That love lasts forever. And, you know, another thing that stood out to me was in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, it says in from verses 11, pretty much to the end of the chapter, it's talking about living in a society that is not godly. So when that's this world out here that we live in, we are the community to show who Christ is. We are who represents Christ. So when everybody sees you, what are they seeing? Is it the same thing like when they see me? Are they seeing Jose or are they seeing Christ? There's times where I show Jose and there's times where I show Christ. But what's more important is showing Christ through Jose. And it's abstaining from a lot of worldly aspects, worldly thoughts, worldly activities. Like they say, it's fun, but nothing's more fun than living for God and doing what's right for Him, because out of that fun, there's no pain. There's no hurt. Knowing that, and this really stood on me heavily, because it's when we try to justify our sins, we got to go back to Christ. He didn't justify Himself to anybody. When He was in front of Pontius Pilate and they asked Him, Don't you have anything you got to say? He just remained silent. He didn't try to plead his case. He didn't try to fight his case. Every time someone, when they would abuse Him verbally, physically, He didn't get aggressive. He didn't talk back. He abstained. He endured all of that for all of us. He left us the example. Being inside there, coming back home, it's seeing the difference, but you're still being able to reach people. That's the beauty. Because inside there's a lot of broken, devastated people. You got COs, which are correctional officers. You got the incarcerated population. You have free staff, people who just come in and work within the incarcerated people. And we all have struggles. And it's amazing to see that we're all human. We're all the same. Just as in the Bible says, God gives these people authority. Respect them out of the reverence for God. So that fear, that reverence, is where we go. And when I was presenting all of this, practicing this, taking it in, learning, and having mentors being able to guide me through when I had these questions on how do I act this way, how do I be this way, it always led to praying as God, praying as God. So if you want to be somewhere, you want to grow in your faith, you want to be that good shepherd, you want to be that sheep that go to the other sheep. Hey, come on, we're strained. We got to go back this way with the herd. All we got to do is stay connected with God. Prayer, communication with God 24/7 is always the best way. And that's what it was like inside there. Remembering who God was. Remembering what He did for me. And He did something very small. Me coming out here in front of you guys is huge. The smallest thing He did was one of the very first prayers I asked. It took about 3 months, but it was to align a communication connection with one of my children. I just said, if you can help me with this, I'll give it full-fledged. I didn't know what I was doing, but I jumped off the cliff before He even answered that prayer. And jumping off a cliff, not knowing if there's rocks on the bottom, how shallow that water is, or how deep it is, you don't know. I just jumped off and I hit the water. Whether I'm close to drowning, I'm, you know, moving my arms, trying to struggle to keep myself above, all I did was tire myself out. But once I said, you know what, God, I'm going to give it to you. Whatever happens, we're just going to go with it. Meaning, the lifestyle I was living before, if I was willing to risk everything for humans, for my friends, for my family, what more would I do for God, for somebody who is giving eternal life? So knowing that, and that's how I just walked every day being incarcerated, was all these people here who don't agree or don't like me is because of Christ. Because I said, hey, I'm going to be a Christian. Now, standing up and saying that in an area where people only want violence, they don't want no positive, they don't want no good, they just want all dark, it could be a very scary place. And a lot of times, a lot of people, we fear what happens when we fear. We want to hide somewhere. We want to go somewhere where it feels safe, where it's okay. My place of going to safety was going to God, reading the Psalms, the Proverbs, reading through the whole Bible, knowing He's saying, I got you. Whatever they do to the flesh, they cannot do to the spirit. So we're not fearing the one who could damage the flesh. We're fearing the one who does the eternal. And that's the part where it's amazing, because there was an amazing man that I met when I was incarcerated, and he told me, fear is not what God, how God wants you to come to Him. Because God is not scary. God does not scare you into salvation. That is the enemy. So when that man broke that down and really seeing and looking at these words of fear inside the Bible and doing these studies, I absolutely 100% agree with him. God does not scare us into salvation. God loves us. And by that love is the way we get to know him. During our experiences, it's hard in life if we never had that love figure of positive love, of that unconditional love. Some of us have that, so it's easier to grab. Some of us doesn't. Same way as it says, God's our Father. Some people have a hard time grasping what a father's love is because we either grew up without a father, or we grew up with an abusive father, or some type of hindrance. But understanding, taking that away and accepting God at His word, you'll know what the real unconditional agape love is. And because of that is the reason why the good shepherd, he loved every sheep. He would go after every sheep, one of them. 99 he went for one. That means he pays attention to each one, examines. That's what God does with us. He examines us one on one. We're all different, but that's what's the beautiful part about all of us. So I'm gonna finish there. I love you guys and thank you. Pass it back to Pastor Merrill.
Thank you, Jose. It's so inspiring to see how God works in our lives in ways that we would have never expected. And what a gift. And it's a gift to have Jose with us here after being in prison for 5.5 years instead of 25.5 or longer. But just to see how God works, it's an inspiration. And God is always working behind the scenes. And that's the scripture we're going to be going today, is in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. So if you can turn there, let's dive in and see why Jesus Christ is such a good shepherd and how we can approach his throne, like it says here in John 10, verses 1 through 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Now, we can look at this physically, because I know my wife and I went through something very similar, because we had a thief and a robber 3 times last year. It was a year before, but everything seems like it was yesterday. But I remember leaving my garage door open, and a thief came in, and I had this .308 rifle. It was handmade by Hoyt Mullins, one of the deacons in the church back in Kentucky, and it was just gorgeous, made out of bird's eye maple and so on, and I had it hanging in the garage and so on. Then guess what? I forgot to close the garage door. And then somebody came in there and ran off with my... But the thing is, that was just one instance, but there was something else that happened shortly after that, and that is somebody came in and came to the side of the house and crawled up on... I had a ladder there and put the ladder up and crawled up in, and they reached inside the air conditioner into my daughter's room, and she was in the room when he was, and all she could see was this hand coming through the window. Talk about scary. But I mean, he was a thief. He was planning to rob, but then she screamed, and thankfully God scared the daylights out of him with her scream, and off he went and took off and so on. Then the third one was the most shocking, and that was when another thief came by and went into the backyard and came through my wife's office window. Now, we had already, after the other things, we put all sorts of alarms on all the windows and everything so that nobody could get in or anything, but we left a fan in that one window because we need to have some cool air coming into the house and so on. Anyway, he found that one window and he came through the window. And this was in the middle of the night, like around 1 o'clock in the morning, and we were all sleeping, and he was in the house for an hour and a half because I had him on the Ring camera and so on. And he ended up stealing Barbara's laptop and $300 out of her purse. So she's got more money than I got.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But anyway, these things happen. But the point here is everything could have turned out totally differently. You got to learn lessons. One of the lessons that I learned about this is lock the gates. Two of those things wouldn't have even happened if I had locked the gates and, of course, not left the garage door open. But now we lock the gates all the time to make sure, because if you leave the gates open, anybody can go anywhere. But we had just never had anything happen like that. But the good thing is God is the one who is the good shepherd, and he takes care of us in spite of our shortcomings and so on. And like it says here, he who enters the sheepfold or wherever it is by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Well, I found that to be very true, but that's physically speaking. But there's another spiritual meaning that we need to grasp from these things, because he says he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, because there's something here that most people don't understand, that door is Jesus, and we need to go through Jesus. Like Jose was saying, if we go through Jesus and talk to him and build a relationship with him, he can do anything. There's nothing that he cannot do. And it says, to him the gatekeeper opens. Because, you know, like that veil that covered the Holy of Holies, that curtain, that when Jesus Christ was resurrected, it was just split down the middle of that big, thick curtain. Try to do that. You probably couldn't even do that with a saw. Anyway, God can do anything. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And that is so encouraging to know that we need to learn how to pray without ceasing, just praying about everything. I really appreciated what Jose had to say about every minute detail. It doesn't matter what it is, to just talk to God about that. Because God listens, and as long as we are seeking his will and really wanting to glorify God and wanting to have a close relationship with God, that's become a habit that has been priceless to me personally, is praying without ceasing. Anytime you get in a bad attitude, you know how to get rid of a bad attitude? Ask God to change it right then. And most of the time, our human nature doesn't want to, but we can. All we have to do is just say, God, give me your attitude, because my attitude right now stinks. And God can change it. You know, there's so many different things, but he leads us out. He calls his own sheep by name. He wants to have an intimate relationship. If you read Revelation, which is filled with promises that God has made to us, that he's going to give us control over the entire earth once he can trust us. We're going to be married to the king of the universe. But going on, he says, a stranger they will not follow. They will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Talking about a sheep. And we need to make sure we know the voice of the shepherd. What is the voice of the shepherd? He talks in many ways, but if we're not reading the Bible, we don't recognize that voice, because that voice is Jesus says, I am the life. I am the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so when we are reading the Word of God day in and day out, we're getting to know the shepherd, because you are relating directly to the shepherd. because he says the sheep follow him. When we are the sheep of God, we're going to follow the shepherd, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech, and that's what this is, Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. See, and this is the thing. A lot of times, you know, well, people read the Bible, they read stories, they read parables, and even the disciples, when they were with Jesus, they said, we don't get it. We don't understand what you're saying, because the parables didn't make sense. But when we ask God, now that we have the gift of the Holy Spirit, we can begin to see things spiritually from God's perspective. And so here he opens up the answer in verse 7. So Jesus said again to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So if you want to know how to get into the sheepfold or to get to the shepherd, he says, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. And again, he says it, I am the door. In other words, if those three robbers that came to our house, they didn't come to the front door. They went around the side. If they had come to the front door, we could have interacted with them and so on. But what we need to do is make sure that we come through the door. The door is the front door, and that front door is Jesus. He is the direct access to get into the house of God. Then verse 9 goes on to say, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. In other words, God is going to supply all of his needs. That's what Psalm 23 is talking about. Psalm 23 is priceless. I was going to go through the whole chapter, but please do that on your own. It's something that everybody, most everybody has it already memorized, but just take the time to go through. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, it says, I'll give you everything. You won't need anything. I'll give you everything that you need. He makes me lie down in green pastures. In other words, he just gives you the best of everything, you know, and you can just be able to relax in his arm. Like little Sora Ann, she loved being with mommy or with daddy, and they hold you. Well, that God does that up. We're his little children. When we first start out, we're like babes. And that's the way God feels toward us. The thief comes, verse 10, only to steal and kill and rob your possessions. That's what he does. He's out for what he can get. I came that they might have life and have life more abundantly. And when Jesus came, I can still remember the struggles that I had early on in ministry, and then all of a sudden how God just opened the windows of heaven and poured out blessings, spiritual blessings that were priceless beyond words. I mean, still back in 1995 when our church went through that crisis and so on, and I thought I was on top of the world before then, until all of a sudden God opened the door and we understood grace. That was like the $1 billion that was just handed to us, understanding grace. We didn't get that. For 30 years, I was preaching, oh, I love thy law. We would sing that every week at church. I love your law. And so on. But it was all old covenant mindsetting. But only those who have been around for quite a while know what we're talking about when it comes to that. But what a gift that God is working with us all the time. And when we pray, because I didn't know what to do when that time came, that was a crisis beyond imagination, because I had to do a complete 180 from the old covenant to the new covenant. And I thought I was on Pluto there for a while, trying to figure out what in the world is going on. You mean all these things that were commanded in the old covenant are not what they do in the new covenant? And it was, Jesus said, the law came by Moses, but by Jesus Christ came grace and truth. And that was like, oh, and then if you read the rest of the New Testament, that's all Paul was talking about. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Grace, 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 grace all the way through. Die to yourself and be alive to Jesus Christ. It's a whole new concept. And Jesus is the door that opens that up. In the old covenant, they couldn't even go into the Holy of Holies. In the new covenant, here we can have a party in there with Jesus. Because he's the curtain, and he split the curtain open, we can go into the Father. Jesus says, you can talk to my dad 24/7. Old covenant, they didn't get it. It's just amazing. But that's why he's the good shepherd. He came and opened the door like you. And he says, I am the door. Go through him and you can do just about anything you can imagine. And don't underestimate what that might be. And his timing will be perfect. Back to John chapter 10. This passage is not primarily about how good sheep behave, but it's about who the good shepherd is and what kind of world he brings with him. The sheep are not the main characters. Jesus is. He says, I am the door. And the sheep follow him. But the sheep all keep their eyes fixed on the shepherd. And there's some interesting things that I didn't realize until preparing this sermon. The good way to read the Bible is to ask, what is God doing? What is God doing? Rather than, what in the world is going on here? What is God doing? Because God is involved in every minute detail of your life. And even if you screw up, he is a redeemer and he can redeem that. And you can say, well, what are you doing here? Because God knew about even your mistakes before you were born. I mean, that really blows my mind to even comprehend how God would know everything before it even happened. It doesn't even make sense to me. But that's why God is omnipotent, omniscient, and everlasting. He made us. He designed our minds. He designed everything that's in our bodies. All these things are just phenomenal. But God is always the main character. And Jesus begins with an image. His listeners, sometimes the Bible seems confusing because we do not understand life at the time that it was written. But Jesus is making a point using an example of everyday life, but it goes deeper than shepherds and sheep. We also learn about God's kingdom. We realize that the good shepherd, not only by his voice, but by the life of his kingdom. And what is the life of his kingdom? Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life and have life more abundantly. You see, God wants to give you everything if you just begin to wrap your minds around it. Like Jose said, wrap your arms around him and it's a relationship. Once you have that relationship, God will give you everything that you need. And if you can enjoy that, even the trials that you have, we can embrace those trials because we can say, what is God doing here? We all know this up here, but we need to be reminded because it's so easy to forget when we get into tough times. And when we have those tough times, we begin to say, doubt. Read James chapter 1 and it tells us very clearly. When you doubt God is involved, God says you're going to get nothing. What? That's what it says. Expect nothing because when you doubt, doubt destroys faith. Doubt and faith are opposites, totally opposites. James chapter 1 is a priceless insight into the mind of God. And God wants us to learn not to doubt. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. That's what it says. Because how can God trust us for eternity to do what he wants us to do when we don't trust him? But sometimes we just think, oh, it's not going to work. This ain't working. I got to find another way. Then God says, see how that works for you. But that's why God tells us in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not ours. If we're trying to be righteous and so on, God says, see how that works for you, because it ain't going to work. You know, God's kingdom is where God's power and authority are exercised. We are seeking first God's kingdom. He is in control of this entire world. Just because Satan is the god of this world doesn't mean God is not in charge and he's not involved. He's involved in every single person's life, even if they're totally unconverted. Because he is redeeming them, but he's letting them learn the hard way. You have two choices. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, he says, I have set before you today life and death. He said to Israel, choose life. What is life? It's the door. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When you choose life, you choose Jesus. You choose faith in him. Say, God, I trust you. You sent Jesus Christ here to show me how you want me to live. I need you to have him live in me because I am totally incapable of following his example unless he lives in me to do the things that are impossible for me to do. And so that is the beautiful thing. is we seek first the kingdom of God. That's His rule in our life now, not just in the kingdom to come. When Jesus Christ comes back, either you'll be a spirit being or you'll be dead for 1,000 years waiting for the second resurrection because you didn't believe anything. And the whole world is going to be in that case because the vast majority of people are going to be destroyed. It says the slain, when Christ comes back, the slain of the Lord is going to be from one end of the earth to the other. But the only ones who are going to be saved during the first resurrection, which is called the better resurrection, are those who believe and their faith is in Christ, because then He can trust them to give them eternal life to do what He wants. And so this is priceless information to understand. But until God opens people's eyes, that's what the sermon was, the last one that I gave, God has to open your eyes to be able to see the truth. And if He doesn't open your eyes, you just, oh, what's going on? And so that's why this is such priceless news here, John chapter 10. He goes on to say, this comes right out of a confrontation with religious leaders, this section here, because if you go back to John 9, please read that on your own. You know what He told these religious leaders. They were coming there to straighten Him out because they didn't believe what He said. And they were the religious leaders, just like today. There are religious leaders today all over the place. And they're out there trying to get people, not earn money, because they're going to bring more money to the church and all that kind of stuff. And God, He just read chapter 9 and see what He has to say about that. He's not a, but He wants people to listen to His voice and to trust Him and to believe Him and to put faith in Him, and then He can work through us. A thief or a robber sneaks and hides. They use deception to harm. They enter unrightfully. They are imposters. I still remember when that pastor gave that sermon to the summer camp up in Reading, when we had a summer camp up there, and this pastor came from another church, and he scared the out of all the kids, because he said, if you don't repent before you die, you're going to burn forever and ever in hell. And I said, I talked to him afterwards. I said, you know, that's not true. And I think I shared this with you once before, but it just, he says, well, how are we going to get their attention? Just lie to them, that's all. But God is a good shepherd. He's not Hitler. And He is good to the core, but He is preparing us and training us for eternity. And we are in our training camp right here. During World War I, some soldiers tried to steal a flock of sheep from a hillside near Jerusalem. The sleeping shepherd awoke to find his flock being driven off. He could not recapture them by force, so he called out to his flock with his distinctive call. The sheep listened and returned to their rightful owner. Isn't that interesting? The sheep listened and returned to their rightful owner. The soldiers could not stop the sheep from returning to their shepherd's voice, because we need to know the voice of God. You only know the voice of God by reading His word to find out what He thinks, how He feels. The whole Bible is full of the voice of God. Even the Old Testament tells you what He told people that were not converted. The New Testament is written for those who are converted, and they can see things from God's perspective. And so God is working with every single person according to their faith. And so the Good Shepherd's voice leads to fruit, like the Beatitudes, you know, and blessed are the poor in spirit. This is what God's in. He's looking for those who have His character. The poor in spirit is like Jesus when his father says, I think they knew even before, we need to redeem them from all their sins. And the only way this is going to be, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, and so on. And so Jesus was willing to come down here and die for us. And that's what He does. The Good Shepherd's kingdom is about life, and He gives life through death. He died for us. He tells us under the new covenant, we need to die to ourselves. But we don't have to die physically. He wants us to die to our human nature. So we just say, human nature, I want God's nature. I do not want to do what I want to do, because I want to do whatever I want to do. Sometimes I don't feel like going to church, so I'm just not going to go to church. I don't feel like this, and I don't feel... All that's got to go out the door. we do exactly what God commands. He says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is. And so much more as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. Does anybody see the day of Christ's return approaching? Do you know what's going on in the Middle East right now? We won't go there. But if you're not paying attention, you better start paying attention. But anyway, make sure that you are ready. God says, watch you therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. That's this first resurrection. When you stand before the Son of Man, you're going to rise in the air to meet the Lord in the air and be with him for eternity because you'll have a spirit body. Wow. You know, like Jose said, that's everything. You know, that's the billion-dollar lottery beyond comprehension. And we need to keep that first and foremost. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, because what's the most important scripture or the most memorized scripture in the whole Bible? John 3:16, what does it say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but should go to hell. No. It shall have everlasting life, and not in the lake of fire either. It's just so encouraging that God is a good shepherd, and he's done it all for us. All we have to do is say, thank you, and please live in me, because without you, God, I can't do anything. But that's the good thing that we have, and there's so many more things that we can share, but don't hesitate to share these things with others. When you see these miraculous things happening like Jose and how God worked in his life and to get out of jail 20 years early, you have miracles in your life. Ask God to remind you of the miracles that God has already done in your life so that you know things that you can share with others, because that's the last thing that Jesus said before he went back to the Father. Matthew 28:19, it says, go you therefore and make disciples of all people groups, all nations or people groups. In other words, don't hesitate to build relationships with every human being, that because everybody needs hope. Like we've mentioned, the number one problem in the world is loneliness. And just building relationships, being friendly, even just saying hi, and if God opens the door for you to be able to build another relationship with them, you know, let them know that you care about them. And when you care about them, they're going to more look. I mean, I have people that I talk to that just go by the house all the time. And now little by little, I end up going golfing with them and spending relationships. There's lots of different ways that you can get acquainted with people. And then when the time is ripe, they can ask questions and you listen and just listen to them. And when you listen to them, then you've got stories that you can share when they ask about your life. And then you can share how God has done miraculous things. And it's just phenomenal. I mean, I've probably got 50 stories I can tell with it, depending upon what the circumstances they are in their lives. So don't underestimate what God can do, because we are his sheep. We are to follow him. And here's what he told us before we go back. Before he went back to heaven, he said, go and make disciples of all people groups. And it's not to try to get people to come to church. It's about loving people where they're at. And then let God work things out. I don't necessarily invite people to come to our church. I just tell them I'm a pastor or this is where I go. But find a church, but just make sure that that is a church that follows Jesus, the scripture, only and nothing else, because Jesus is the door. And if you don't go through Jesus, it ain't going to work. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so very much that you've given us your Son. What a gift. He is the good shepherd, and God, you live in him. And he does exactly what you command him to do, as John 14 tells us very clearly. And we thank you, God, that that's the way you are. If we don't know Jesus, we don't know you, because Jesus and you are one. And the Holy Spirit is written in the Word to describe both you and your Son, because you're one. And thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to live in us, to point us to you all the time, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you for being such a good shepherd, and all the praise goes to you, God, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.